And what I'm going to tell you is finite dimensional subspaces of non-commutative LP spaces. So let me tell you what do we have in the present situation. So this is a classical result by Lewis, which goes back to 78. And in his paper, he showed that there is the phenomenon called change of density in commutative LP spaces. So if we think about commutative LP space, and we think about n-dimensional subspace in LP, then we can always find a special basis in that space X which satisfies the following conditions. So we need to think about the square function of the basis, and the square function is normalized like this. The p norm of the square function is n to the 1 over p. And if we use this special weight, the x to the p minus 2, then this basis satisfies orthonormal conditions. So this is there's something called change of density. And as a corollary, he could show that this n-dimensional subspace of LP satisfies this estimate, which says that the Banach modulus distance between X and the n-dimensional Hilbert space is smaller than n to the absolute value of 1 over 2 minus 1 over p. So the definition of Banach modulus distance goes like this. And also he could show that the relative projection constant of X with respect to LP is smaller than the same quantity. And this is the projection constant, the definition of the projection constant. So this is a classical result of Lewis in commutative case. And there is one more comment about classical case, because I told you about the case p is smaller than infinity. So what happens if we go to the extremal case p equals 1 or p equals 2 infinity? Then this case can be covered by more general result by Fritz Jones, which says that every n-dimensional Banach space satisfies that the Banach modulus distance between X and n-dimensional Hilbert space is smaller than a square root of n. It's a well-known fact. So let me briefly tell you how the change of density argument works here. So we just think about the factorization of a projection onto X, and we start with the LP space, and we think about the change of density here, I mentioned, and we think about the formal identity between LP and L2, and because this is Hilbert space, we take the orthogonal projection onto the image, and we go back to the X using formal identity again. And we can check that the first map satisfies norm smaller than n to the 1 over 2 minus 1 over p, and the second map, second formal identity is just contraction. So this gives the results. And we'll be back to this argument again, the general case. Okay, so this is what happened in commutative case. And then what is non-commutative analogs of this one? So first, we can think about the Banach space level, and the result is the same as before using theta-Hilbertian approach by Pizier. So we say that a Banach space X is theta-Hilbertian. The theta is a parameter between 0 and 1. If X is equal to the complex interpolation for any Banach space Y and Hilbert space H with the parameter theta, then it is known that any n-dimensional subspace Z of X satisfies this Banach modulus distance estimate. And if we remember that LP is always recovered as complex interpolation, it doesn't matter LP is commutative or non-commutative, we always have this interpolation result, so we can recover the same estimate. So if we look at the Banach space level, then nothing interesting is remained. And as you know well, there is a natural operator space structure on LT, which is obtained from a complex interpolation. So L infinity is a Sisto algebra, so we have natural operator space structure, and the pre-dual also has natural one, and so we get a natural operator space structure using complex interpolation on LP. So we can think about the operator space level, and in that case, the most natural substitute for Hilbert space would be OH, the operator Hilbert space. So we can think about the same problem here, but still the theta Hilbertian approach still works. So more precisely speaking, if we consider any operator space E, and we fix an N and the constant C, then the following two conditions are equivalent. So the first one goes like this. If we think about any linear map between the Schechten class with rank smaller than N, and if we think about the A tensor identity E, which maps from S to E, this is a E-valued Schechten class, goes to the same space, and the norm is bounded by C. This is the first condition, and it is equivalent to any n-dimensional subspace F of E as the CV distance estimate. Here I have used the CV distance, and this is defined by replacing the operator norm into CV norms. Then if you look at the first condition, then it looks like we can apply complex interpolation easily. So we can simply check that LP of any Feynman algebra M then satisfies the first condition with this constant, which the quantity we need. So we can say that the about the operator Hilbert space situation, then we get the same result as before. And if we go to the extremal case, p equals to 1 or p equals to infinity, then, of course, again, these cases can be covered by more general result that says every n-dimensional operator space satisfies that the CV distance between E and operator Hilbert space with the same dimension is smaller than the square root of N. So, so far, we have seen the operator space level, and we have thought about the substitution of Hilbert space into operator Hilbert space, and it was very clear and the same as before. Then what else we can think about? So is there any other Hilbertian operator space with the same result as a substitute of Hilbert space in Banach space area? And is there any possibility of change of density coming into the picture? Because I have used theta Hilbertian approach before. And the answer is, if we think about this Hilbertian operator space, then we have something like that. So here I used R and C, which means row Hilbert space and column Hilbert space. And these are intersections and sums in the sense of operator space. And we take the complex interpolation again. And it is well known that this RCP space is completely isomorphic to RP plus CP if P is smaller than 2, and RP intersection CP if P is greater than 2. And this RP and CP is rows, the first row and the first column in the second P class. So this is operator space, and it is Hilbertian. Then we can, the main result goes like this. If we think about any n-dimensional subspace of non-commutative LP, for a general von Neumann algebra, then we have this this estimation, the CB distance between R, between E and RC P prime here. So the conjugate index with P is smaller than the constant times of the quantity we have seen before. So we need some constant depending on only on P here. And using this result, we can get a corollary about CB projection constant. Yeah, we can get the following corollary. So we are in the same situation as before. So E is a n-dimensional subspace of LP, and then we can always find a projection from LP onto E satisfying the certain this kind of norm is smaller than the quantity we have seen before. And this gamma norm is defined here, and the gamma norm of a operator is the infimum of the product of two norms that gives the factorization through this Hilbertian operator space. Then in particular, we can see that this is greater than the CB norm of the projection, so we can easily deduce that the relative CB projection constant is smaller than the quantity here. And the proof of this one, the from the theorem and the corollary, we need to use the following fact, and the corollary can be obtained from this observation. So we start with a perfectly Hilbertian operator space, and I'm not going to tell you about the definition of perfectly Hilbertian, but it is a Hilbertian operator space, which means that the Banach space level is just Hilbert space, and it is good enough as the Hilbert space among Banach spaces, and that class contains every rows and columns and RPs and CPs, and the sum of the row and columns and intersections and their intersections. So we are focusing on RCP, and it belongs to this perfectly Hilbertian operator space. So anyway, if we have the good enough Hilbertian operator space, then we can. Yes, they of course should be homogeneous. Yes, all should be homogeneous. And in case of thinking about the intersection and sum, we allow some constant, the universal constant. So an operator space E, suppose that E satisfies the following. If we have constant that every n-dimensional subspace of E satisfies this the CB distance estimation using the constant C, then we can always have this a projection E onto F. The norm, the gamma norm of this projection is smaller than the same constant here. And this gamma norm is again the same, the factorization through H. And so, let's go back to the case H is this is the explanation how we can go from the theorem and to the corollary, because we have seen that this condition holds for RCP n and the constant times of n to the absolute value 1 over 2 minus 1 over p, so we get this conclusion, which gives us the relative projection constant. So, if we go to the extremal cases again, then these results are all be covered by more general result by Junger that says every n-dimensional operator space satisfies that the CB distance between E and R intersection C is smaller than 2 times of square root of n. And if we take the dual, then we get the estimate for R plus C. So Okay, and so let me tell you about the main ingredients which we'll use in the proof of this result. Then first one is the equality condition of Felder inequality. So in a general context of non-commutative LP space, we have something called Felder inequality, which says that the product, the L1 norm or product, is smaller than LP norm and the LP prime norm, and we all know that. But the equality condition is the best I could find is it holds for semi-finite for Neumann algebras. So actually, this result says that if we have this equality condition, then there is a connection between two operators like this. And this result is obtained from the Young's inequality for semi-finite case by Fahrenheit and Mayagoni. And actually, what they showed in their paper is focusing on the positive elements. But if we follow the same proof, then we can easily recover the whole general case. And the everything we need about generalized singular numbers can be found in a paper by Kosaki. So the same argument works. So we have equality condition for this case. And the second one is Hardock's reduction principle, because we have restricted our focus on semi-finite case, and we need something to generalize to the general case, most general case. And this Hardock's reduction principle says sometimes the property that holds for finite for Neumann algebras can be extended to the general case. So if we start with a sigma finite for Neumann algebra, and we take the p smaller than infinity, then there is a increasing net of finite for Neumann algebras, m alpha of m, and there are complete contractions u's and w's. So if so that they give as a limit some kind of identity. Then if we take the ultra filter on this I, and if we think about the ultra product of the operators, then this gives the kind of embedding of LP into this, the ultra product here. And we also have the projection down. So we can sometimes generalize easily using this one. The next one is we need to think about opposite as an operator space, and opposite of non-commutative LP. And what is the opposite of a operator space? So E opposite is the same Banach space as E, but in order to emphasize the difference, I'll just denote that XT, the same element. So X goes to XT is the just formal identity. And the difference is the E opposite is equipped with the following operator space structure. So if we think about the matrix on E opposite, then we just change the I and J, which takes the transpose on the matrix level. And if we, let me add some examples here. So if we start with row P's, then opposite gives CP's. Yeah. This is an example. And if we start with a sister algebra A, then this opposite as an operator space can be also understood as the same algebra with reverse multiplication. So it is quite natural that to be interested in the relationship between opposite of LP of M and LP of opposite of M, starting with a for Neumann algebra. So we can think about two objects here, And if we start with a sigma finite, with a normal fateful state phi, with density d phi, then we can find the complete isometry between them, which is given by this one. So the opposite of a non-commutative LP is again non-commutative LP, some different from normal algebra. Okay, so the last thing I need is an automatic complete boundedness result, which says that if we have any for Norman algebra and a linear map between LP into RCP prime, and in this case we are assuming that P is greater than 2, then always any bounded linear map is again completely bounded with this norm control. And this result is explained in his habilitation by Junge when the Neumann algebra is just V of L2, but we can use the same technique and we can extend to the general case simply. So we are quite ready to explain how the proof works. So let me start again with the change of density phenomenon again. And we are focusing on semi-finite case to use the Hölder inequality condition. So we start with a semi-finite von Neumann algebra with NSF trace tau. And we think about n-dimensional subspace of LP of M again, then we can find a basis of E satisfying similar conditions. The first of all, we think about the column scalar functions, and it is normalized like this, which means that the P norm of this scalar function is n to the 1 over P, and using this change of density, then this basis satisfies orthonormal conditions. And if P goes down to 2, then we need to think about the inverse of this map, but usually it is not. So it is not invertible, so we need to think about the support projection and the corresponding reduced von Neumann algebra and inverse as an operator associated to this algebra. And it works. So let me tell you how the proof goes for this change of density and when do we need the Hölder inequality. So the general procedures, I just followed the material in the book of Poiatowski. And he started with the following extremal problem. So given any linearly independent functionals on E star, and we want to find the vectors there, which gives the maximum of the value of determinant of this one with the condition that the P norm of scalar function of X is smaller than the n to the 1 over P. Then, because we are dealing with finite dimensional case, we can always find the solution. And the solution gives a set of vectors in E, and the set of vectors of LP prime, which extends the functionals here, then we can find that they satisfy this orthogonal condition. And again, the P prime norm of this scalar function of Y is n to the 1 over P prime, which is complementary each other. And we follow the same procedures. So the action between X and Y gives N, then we can calculate like this, and here we use a Hölder inequality on M tensor Mn, and that ends up with the same value. So we have the equality situation, and we can apply the equality condition what I mentioned before, then we can deduce that the square functions of x and square functions of y satisfy this relationship. And by examining an operator inequality, then we can actually get this yi is xi times of this x to the p minus 2. So that gives the orthonormal condition we want. Okay, then now we have change of density. Now, next step would be factorization. So we go quite similarly. So starting with LP, so we think about the change of density here. So using this new density, we introduce a weight. Then we can think about the Hausdorff L2 space here. And then everything is the same. We think about formal identity between them and orthogonal projections and formal identity again. Then we can show that the first one gives the same norm estimation, and the second one we can do something more. So if we think about this is a Hilbert space, so if we impose a CP structure here, then it is completely isometric to CP and dimensional CP, and the completely bounded norm is estimated like this. So the situation is, in the commutative case, we have this norm information, and one side we have CB norm information. So we can summarize the situation like this. So when P is greater than 2, then starting from LP, and this is a dimensional subspace we want to take a look. So we have a factorization of the projection, so which has the CB norm information here and just norm information here. So if you remind the automatic completely boundedness result, maybe then we can upgrade this norm estimation into the CB norm estimation, but the problem is we still have CP here. So we need to modify the argument a little bit. So that's where we need opposite trick, which we can find Junger's habilitation and Fizier's book, Introduction to Operator Space Theory. So we start again the subspace E of LP, and if you think about the opposite E, then it sits in the opposite of LP. I should have wrote somewhere. But we know that the opposite of LP of M is equal to LP of M opposite. So the intersection can be understood as a subspace of this direct sum of 2LP, which can be written as one single LP space. So we have a subspace and dimensional subspace again. So we think about the factorization that we have now. Then we have CB norm information here and norm information here, and we apply the automatic completely boundedness result here, and we use the opposite trick here so we can modify this map into this one. So now we have finally got the result we want. So this is, of course, the KSP is greater than 2, and we got something RC P prime here. So this is how the proof works, and if P is smaller than 2, then we need to think about the sum of E and E up, then it can be understood as a quotient. Then, of course, we need to go back to the what's happening in the quotient situation. Then, we have the same result. So we, again, apply the same process so that we get the result. Okay, so this is it. Yeah.